Go all the way to Mark 16, verse 15. Mark 16, verse 15. So what it says there? It says, verse 15, Mark 16, 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Is he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned. Right? Look at verse 17. And this sign shall follow them that what? Believe. Say it together. Say, let's say it together. These signs shall follow them that believe. Now he says, in my name they shall what? Cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues, and they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Are we together? Right? Bible says, they that believe, right, are saved. Right? Now, we started looking at the believer's victory and the believer's authority on Wednesday. I started looking at what exactly is it about the believer? What exactly is it about the believer? What exactly is there that is unique about the believer? And it's important that we pay attention to this fact, because a man cannot really live above his understanding of his creator. And a man cannot understand himself without understanding his creator. Do you get that? The knowledge you have about yourself is to the degree of the knowledge you have about who your creator is, what your creator has done, and what your creator has given unto you. If you look at Matthew's Gospel 16, Hallelujah. I'm hearing a name, and the name I'm hearing is Gloria. Who is that person here? That name, Gloria. And I'm seeing Gloria more like a relative. Who's that person here? You.
I have a relative called Gloria.
You have a relative called Gloria. What does she have to do with Benin City? Is that where she's from? Who is, I'm seeing another name beside Gloria, and I'm seeing another name, Annabelle. Who's that? Your sister. So your sister is Annabelle. Then your...
Gloria.
Okay. Is Annabelle related to Gloria or related to... Where does Gloria sit? Mother to your stepmom. Stepmom to Annabelle as well? Mom of Annabelle. So I think I know where I'm going to. Right? So I could see a lot of activities going on in Benin City. Right? And I could see in the middle of those activities was somebody around you here. So that means you. With why? That means it's you. And I could see you bringing a lot of stability to your family. What I saw before I mentioned the first name was complications. Can relate to that, right? Okay. We'll talk after church. We are the one involved with those things. I'm being sitting. You know, you can know some things about yourself, and by the Spirit, you know more than what you know. It's possible. Yeah? But because of how delicate it is, I'll speak to you after church. Yeah? And much more than speaking to you after church is to be intentional about this series. As much as you can, be very intentional about this series. I could see complications resolved. Yeah, complications resolved. And now we don't do it. To make sense to you shortly. There's something else I want to say, but I don't want to say it on the street. But I'll say it to you after church. Matthew's Gospel 16, okay? Matthew's Gospel 16, verse 13, when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi. Now, we have a believer's meeting next week, right? Yeah, so come ready for next week's believer's meeting, right? Okay, so I've ministered my own for next week today. What is that? God's palace members. What does that mean? I've done my ministry for next week today. And so you come next week and you minister to the saints. Praise God. I'll see you next week, Christ's day. Look at Matthew 16, verse 13. Right? But come ready for next week. When Jesus comes to Caesarea Philippi, he asks the disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, right? Some Elijah, some Jeremiah, right? Or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Right? And Simon Peter said unto, answered and said, thou art Christ, and the Son of the living God, right? For 17 also, and Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood are not revealed unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, now look at what it says in verse 18, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will what? Build my church, and the gates of hell shall not what? Prevail against it. Now the word they prevail against it, we said, is the word to withstand it. Now we said, I will build my church is both a finished work and an ongoing work. Right, I will build my church is both a finished work and an ongoing work. So Jesus says to Peter, I will build my church. He says the gate of hell shall not prevail. Now the Bible doesn't say hell fire above Jesus, right? The Bible doesn't say hell fire. The Bible says hell. I will look in that series now, getting your Bible, what the word hell means in very summative form. And we said hell, more often than not, doesn't come with an attachment of fire when used in the Bible. More often than not, right? Yeah. Did I just say there's no hellfire? No. Is that what I said?
No.
Okay. Did I just say there's hellfire?
No.
Okay. None of them, right? So I didn't say any of them, right? I just told you that the hell here speaks about Hades. Now, what is Hades?
The land of the dead.
The land of the dead, right? So Hades speaks about the land of the dead in summary. So he says, "And I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail." Now, what did Jesus do upon the resurrection? See what he says he will do in verse 19. Let's read verse 19 together. 1, 2, 3, go. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth is bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Or is bound in heaven. Whatever thou shalt lose on earth is loosed in heaven. Now we said that this is a concept of what? Forgiveness of sin being preached. Okay? Now we first of all said before that, prior to that, that heaven and earth fundamentally in the scriptures is another way of speaking about the temple or the new creation. So when the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning God created heavens and earth, that's actually a prophetic statement that the Bible opens up with. Are we together? Because when you go all the way to Revelation chapter 20:21, you will see the author of the book of Revelation, John, will say he beholds a new heaven and a new earth. Are we together? Right? And there was no more sea. Revelation 20 and verse 1, 2, 3, 4, if I'm not mistaken, or 21. Right? Now, we said that Jesus upon the resurrection had an authority. Yeah? He had an authority. Now, what was the authority really about? Now, the authority was about the forgiveness of sins fundamentally. Okay? So Jesus will go to the land of the dead. He will go to the land and come back alive, right? The world of the dead. And he will say, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom. All together. I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom. I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom. Now, we said something very important on Wednesday. That the scriptures are written in such a way that our attention ought to be on the man Jesus. All together. Now, you can read the Bible in different ways. There are people that read the Bible in different ways. You know, you can wake up one morning and you open the Bible to speak to you and you speak. To you, in fact. The problem is who is speaking. All together. In my very few days of pastoring, I've seen lots of people reach out to me. You know, ask me questions like, you know, how I hear the voice of the Lord is when I open the Bible. When I open the Bible and any page I just open to, any word that is written there becomes my reality. Right? You know, someone said something to me like the Holy Spirit led us to one scripture. And the scripture was about Moses leaving his land to another land. And guess what the Holy Spirit was saying to the guy in that scripture? It's time to what? No, it's not Japa. You know the Greek word J-A-P-A? It's Japa. Right? You want to leave the country. Why do you have to use Bible to explain you want to leave this country? Eh? When the Bible says Moses went to the land of the Canaanites, why did you go to Canaanite? But you saw traveling there, and what you saw is US or UK. Brother, sister,
Jesus is coming back again.
You know, so we use the Bible to get interpretations like that. You just open the Bible anywhere the Bible says. Anywhere the Bible says, wow, the wall of Jericho fell down flat. You start thinking, which wall do I have? Which wall do I have? That wall that's preventing me from getting to my promised land. What are you looking for? Fall down some as well. And that's why people don't pay attention to proper Bible interpretation. Like I told you a couple weeks ago that, you know, there were not three wise men that visited Jesus. Remember, we've said that, right?
Yeah.
You know, I grew up for years learning that there were three wise men that visited Jesus. Right? But it's not the Bible. We can't teach it from the Bible. I grew up for years hearing that it was a thief on the right-hand side of Jesus that said, remember me in your kingdom. Then the one on the left said what? If you are the Son of God, rescue us and rescue yourself. But no scripture shows you either right or left. It just tells you there are two kinds of people. I grew up believing that Jonah was in the belly of a fish with a TV screen. Are we together? And artwork. Yeah, he sat on the floor and there was artwork behind him for 3 nights and 3 days. Now, anytime he's hungry, he'll just take the kidney of the whale and eat it. When he wants to eat again, he wants to take the heart. Yeah? You know, so the things we believe matters a lot because to a very large extent, you cannot live above your understanding of what you see in the Bible. Yeah? I always give an example of a man who said, God speak to me and he did. You know this thing, draw your sword. Draw your sword. You know, draw your sword is good for a game when you want to relax. When you want to just laugh. First to open to the book of Nahum. Nahum. Some of you start for Revelation. Go backwards. Someone cracked a joke one day. He said that when the pastor said, open the Bible to the book of Nahum, he was asking Nahu. Right? Some of you, they say, if I ask you now, open your Bible to Lamentation. You will lament before you get there. You will struggle to get there. You know? So, he opened the Bible, and I think the first scripture he saw was someone killed himself. Right? You know, and just say, God, speak to me this morning. Lord, your word is the light unto my feet and the path unto my life. I'll be happy to say this. And not speak to me. I'll just be like this. And Judas hung himself. Said, no, that cannot be God. That cannot be God. God, speak to me by a mighty, mighty voice. Open another one. I think the next one was something like, I did not waste time. So what was the next one? It's not what you do, it's quickly. So we open three scriptures. So when you merge the three scriptures together, what is it? Judas hung himself, don't waste time, do it quickly. That's the word of the Lord to you this week. How would you feel? If that God is speaking to you, how would you feel? You know, so you can't be pathetic and just, so the day is good, it's God speaking to you, the day is not good, it's them. Yes, and you can't live a life that way. You ought to go through the explanation. You know, I always tell you, when the Bible was written, they didn't have me in mind. When Moses was writing, he did not have me in mind. He had the people in mind. If I write a letter to you today, there's any tendency that my child will read it in the next 50 years. You can write a letter to me and I archive it in my room. And my child can read that letter 50 years from now. There are some words that we use today, it will not make sense. For instance, there's a word that we use in our word. Yeah, the spelling is D-E-Y space P-L-A-Y. Right? That's the word we use. Okay. Yeah? It's a Greek word. But there's a Latin version of it. Right? D-E-Y space P-L-A-Y. So if I wrote that thing, for instance, in a letter to him, 50 years from now, that sentence will not make sense to my child. So my child needs to come back to 2024 to understand how did they use that word. You understand? You know, see, this book has caused more death that you can think about in this world. Oh, somebody like this book. In it is life, and you can find death that you should not find. There are people that lose their life on account of scriptures. Like, for instance, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Is it not in the Bible? Is it not in the Bible? It's the Bible now, right? Like I said, I can do all things, right? Yeah. Go to the wrong way and be running now. Go to Egypt now. Just go and come back. Is it not all things? You understand? But if you don't read the confines within what Paul was teaching, you will assume that everything in this world you can do. You understand? And now there's a place of Bible interpretation and understanding positive confession. And that's why I'm laying this foundation. There is positive confession and there is positive confession from the place of ignorance. Yeah? I've taught you before. You know the Hebrew woman delivery? How many of you know that story?
Yeah,
the woman that give birth like Hebrew women. The Hebrew women that give birth without pain. Yeah, it's in your Bible. It's in your Bible. Right? And there are people who have lost their lives because of that scripture. Yeah, go to Exodus 2 quickly. Exodus 1. So it's very important to pay attention to scriptures and stay with what the Bible says. Don't go extra. Don't go extra. Look at Exodus chapter 1. What was happening in verse 8? Now there arose a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more than mightier than us. Come on, Exodus 1:10. Let us deal wisely with them, lest they will multiply. And if it comes to pass that when there's any war, they will join our enemies and fight us. Mind you, the Israelites were in bondage. Is that true? They were in bondage in Egypt. So the king of Egypt says, these people were oppressing. If a war should break down, these people were oppressing might can go and join our enemies to destroy us. Because who likes bondage? No one. You hear that? So now, what did he want to do? He wanted to deal with them wisely. Altogether. Therefore, they did set over them taskmasters. Look at verse 11, verse 12. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. Right? Look at verse 14. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in bricks, and in all manner of service in the field, and in all services. Look at verse 15. And the king of Egypt spake to who? There is saints. Are you in the Bible? Yes. Like, what scripture am I in? Verse 15. Exodus 1:15. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which name was what? Sapphira, and the name of the other, Pua. Right? And he said unto them, that's the king, what did he say? When you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew woman, and you see them upon the stools, if it be a son, what should you do? Kill him. If it be a daughter, what do you do? Allow her to live. Now look at verse 17. But the midwives what? They feared God and did not as the king of Egypt had commanded them, but saved the men children alive. But the king of Egypt called the midwives and said unto them, why have you done this thing? And have you saved the men children alive? And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as what? The Egyptian women, for they are what? Lively and delivered before the midwives coming to them. Is that your Bible? So what is that teaching? The Bible is teaching that the king of Egypt was scared for his life. Then he wanted to ensure that the Israelites stopped giving birth to men, because his men that grow up to become men of valor or men in the war front. And he said unto them, right, the only way we can stop these people from multiplying is when their mothers give birth to them, we kill the male children at birth. But the unfortunate thing for Pharaoh was that he asked the Hebrew midwives to do it. Right? Right? And he said to them, when you go into the labor room, so Hebrew midwives in their Bible is in their world is like a nurse. Is that nurse? Yeah. Right? A nurse in our world today. Right? So he tells a nurse, when you go into the theater room and the woman gives birth, once you see the gender of the child is a boy, what do? You kill the child. When it's a lady, what do? You allow the lady to leave. What did the Bible say about the Hebrew woman? It says they feared God. And they did not do as the king had said. Then what did they do? They went back to the king and they did what? They lied to the king. They said, before we enter labor room, the women have already given birth and packed their load and gone. In our world today, people have that mindset. Right? I know people who have been in very strange, and there's nothing wrong in believing for faith to have a child. I don't even know what that even means. You understand? But there are people who doctor has come to meet you. Your labor is not laboring. Let's help you. You say, no, my pastor, my father, my whoever said, I will keep it like the what? Hebrew. Then you make that a faith confession. But it's a faith confession on ignorance. Sometimes people, somebody will go into the labor and come and tell you, I didn't even feel pain. Are you to you believe? Somebody said they had the anointing, they went to the labor, they came, I did not feel, are you to you believe? You now say, I tap. I tap into the grace. You tap into what? Why is it called labor room? You got to labor. You have to labor when you are there. You understand? So people have built that knowledge, that mindset from scripture. Oh, the Hebrew man. I have the anointing of the Hebrew man. The God of the Hebrew man is my God. As I go into labor room. Now you can have faith confession on your lips while you are going to labor room. In fact, you should as a believer. Know where it stops. What am I saying? See, know where the boundary of scripture stops. Some people can be so funny and naughty. Yeah? If the Bible says you are a child of God, leave it there. If the Bible says you have the Holy Ghost, leave it there. Don't say you are the Holy Spirit. You understand? For the Holy Spirit lives in me. He is holy and he lives in me as a spirit. So if God's spirit lives in me, I'm a spirit. right? You know, some people say they are gods. The Bible tells you ye are gods now. And your head will not tell you that the person that says you say you are God, there's a limit. You understand? You say, for the Bible says, ye are gods. I'm God. God does not exist without me. It sounds funny. That people like that. Yeah. He said, I heard someone say recently, he said, Jesus does not have a better stand with God than me. Jesus is not, as Jesus, I know there's Bible verse for it, as he is, so are we. And you too, you do not understand that when they say as he is, you should first find out as he is, what he means, and what he means by so are you. You understand? See, Jesus is a child of God. Jesus is the Son of God, yeah, for starters. But you must even understand particularly that when you look at sonship in scriptures, it's not as you see sonship in human race. I'm together. When you see Father in scripture, and also you must be able to stop within the confines of what the Bible teaches. What does the Bible say? Look at Psalm 118. Let me show you something quickly this morning. Psalm 118. Psalm 118. I'll go all the way to verse 22. Are you in your Bibles? What are we looking at? The believer's victory and authority. Psalm 118, verse 22. The stones, are you there? Coming together as a church, 1, 2, 3, go. The stones which the builders rejected has been, let's read to verse 24. Let's read again from verse 22, 1, 2, 3, go. Did you see that in your Bible? Is it in your Bible? Right? You know, a lot of us pick this scripture to mean, what does it even mean there? We make it mean to us something. You know, the stone which the builder rejected, maybe your family, they say you are the one that will not rise up. You now tell them, you will see. For the Bible says, I so is in the Bible? Yes, it's in the Bible. For the Bible says, the stone which you be, you see, let me tell you something. If your family tell you that you will not do well, seeing you will see is not the solution to you doing well. You can say you will see, and eventually on the long run, they will still feed you. I mean, yeah? In fact, you can say you will see, and on the long run, you that will see. Are you with me? So, when it says, the stone which builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the what? This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous. You see, God will do something in my life that will be marvelous for you all to see. Let me tell you something. You know, I always tell you, when you hate somebody, which you shouldn't, your hatred for another does not make God a child that child. See, you can't farm God to hate another believer. Listen, see, if a believer does something bad to you, see, if you want the believer to see, which you shouldn't, yeah, you are safer with the military. But to recruit God on your side, you say, because God is my papa, no weapon, anything. No. Think about it this way. What you fail to understand is that you see lots of Christians praying some kind of prayers, and they are praying to the father of the people they are praying against. Did you get that? Did you get that? You are a Christian, I'm a Christian. You do something bad to me, I'm praying to your father. So, I'm not even doing like this. Right? So, I'm praying to your father. I'm doing this for an abstract explanation. I'm praying to your father to deal with you. That's what it means to pray in Jesus' name. Yeah? Every man or woman, every satanic, demonic, every demonic area. Well, there are ways to go about matters that have to do with all those satanic, demonic, matanic, and all those things. But there's a way not to go about it. You can't kill people in the name of the Lord. You get that? So what's the name of Jesus? Jesus means the one who saves. Or salvation has come. Yeshua. Is that true? Yeah? Yeah? So you can't say, I command you to die in the name of the Lord who saves. When God's mighty power appears on the scene, his mighty power is seen to save. Yes, when it says the stone which builders rejected, look at how Peter teaches that from Acts 4. Go to Acts 4 quickly. Acts 4. Verse 9. Look at verse 8. Mind you, so I didn't ask for 8. Are you there? Mm-hmm. Get there. What was Peter's Bible? Genesis Malachi. Okay? What was Jesus' Bible? That means Jesus did not quote Romans. He didn't quote Ephesians. So Jesus read strictly Genesis to Malachi. Are we together? So if Peter is talking in Acts 4, where is his Bible? Genesis to Malachi. See what Peter says in Acts 4, verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and Israel, and elders of Israel. Verse 9 says what? If we this day examine the what? The examine of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be known, how can you know that impotent is not the same way you use impotent today? Okay, I just said, let me just leave it there. He says, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom what? Whom he crucified. So is Peter talking to a group of men?
Yes.
So who crucified Jesus? Men. Are we together? Who killed Jesus?
Men.
Who crucified Jesus? Men. Okay. Was God involved in the birth, in the death, in the burial, and resurrection of Jesus? Yes. What point was he not involved in the death? Are we together? Right? When Jesus will be killed on the cross and be put in the tomb, who put him inside the tomb? Tomb. You tomb. Maria says it's not tomb. It's not that. I know I always tell you, when I just do my own, that you just go and come and tell me my own. So, he said it's tomb.
Tomb.
Okay. So, the tomb. So, who put Jesus in the tomb? Right? Men put him in the cave. You don't have to say. Anyone you don't get, forget about it. So men put him in there. So where did God's work begin? In the resurrection. So who killed Jesus? Men. Who was involved in the burial of Jesus? Men. Who was involved in the resurrection of Jesus? God. Okay. Yeah. So what did Peter say? He says, "Whom he crucified." What did he say about God in the next statement? Whom God raised from the dead, Acts chapter 1, verse 10. Even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Look at verse 11. Let's read together. What does it mean? What does it say?
This is
the stone which the builder rejected, which has become the what? The head corner. So, who is the stone that the builder rejected? So, when you go to Psalm 118, the stone the builder rejected, who is he speaking about? You or Jesus?
Jesus.
Look at what he says in the next verse. Neither is there salvation in any. So what is the stone the builder rejected regarding?
Salvation.
Neither is there salvation in any, right? In any other, for there is no other name under heavens given amongst men whereby we must be what? Saved. So go back to Psalm 118. Psalm 118. Verse 22. So the stone which the builder rejected has become the what? The chief cornerstone. Who is that about? Jesus. What's the next line? The Lord has done this. And what version is that? That's not KJV. This is the Lord's doing. Right? What version is that really? I think I might like to look into that. NIV. Okay, I think, okay. Yeah, so what does it say? This, the Lord has what? The Lord has done it and is marvelous in our eyes. That's equal to, this is the Lord's doing. So what is the Lord's doing? Say it full, your full chest. Okay, so the stone that was rejected, becoming the chief cornerstone, is the what? The Lord's doing. That's the resurrection. That's about the resurrection. So what is marvelous in our eyes?
The resurrection.
Are we here? So this is the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. It's about the resurrection. And what does that resurrection supply? Acts 4:11, salvation. Neither is there salvation in any other name. You get it right?
Yeah.
So when he says, this is the day the Lord has made, that's not what you use to start Sunday service, except you know what it means. Are you with me? Yeah? When a lot of us come, I know, we come to the praise, for this is the day the Lord has made. Right? When we do that, a lot of times, we're talking about Monday, talking about Sunday, talking about Wednesday. Right? In fact, a lot of people now use it for days of testimony. Yeah? You buy a new car, that is the day the Lord has made. You buy a new house, that is the day the Lord has made. Because it's a what? Marvelous thing in the sight of men. You know, you can use the Bible to teach nonsense with confidence. Confidence does not mean right knowledge. Are you with me? You can talk confidently in ignorance. Confidence does not mean right knowledge. You can use this Bible and mix it up. So someone can read Psalm 118 and go to, there's a popular scripture we have. Yes, the scripture talking about, I have not seen. 1 Corinthians 2. Right? For I have not seen. Neither, what? No ears heard. Neither has it entered into the heart of men the things which God has what? Prepared for those that love him. My sister, congratulations. Yeah, congratulations, my sister. That you know, Bible says I had not seen. We are all seeing it together. I say I had not seen. The people that manufacture it, their eyes saw it. The people that sold it, their eyes saw it. You say I had not seen. You take his car. No, sir. I had not seen. It's not about your house. The head has not heard. It's not about the removal of your head. So you can say, I had not seen. Yes, I've not heard. The stone that the builder rejected will become the chief. I will feed all of you. See, if you really want that thing to come to pass, go and walk. Above Jesus. I know sometimes some things you say to people is what determines their pressure in the workplace. The efforts they put. Some people, you see them. When you see people who are working, they finish working 9 to 6. They go and change their clothes, big sheets. 6:30, they are still dirty, 4 a.m. After they finish, they go and rest for 3 hours, they pick out that shift, 6 a.m. to 9. And see, some people, what is pushing them is what somebody has said to them before. Do you understand? And if you keep pushing that way, see, if you know, I always say, whatever you give your commitment to, you get better at it. Whatever you give your consistency to, even if it's stealing, if someone starts stealing today and continues stealing for the next 1 year, when the person who watches his video or video, 1 year after, you see progress. You see progress. How many of you have seen Money Heist? Right? You see the progress. All of you are saying, if I say, which person have you seen through now? You say, Pastor. You say, yes, I've seen it. You watched it. You know the authors. You know the professor. You too have watched it. How is it together? You see, for me as a person, the kind of book she knows, and it's always difficult for her to find movies for us to watch because I can't be watching drama. No. I want drama. You get the point. There's a difference between drama and drama. Like any movie that in the first 5 minutes they've not shot one person, it's difficult for me to follow. Because I just, there's what she's trying to make you follow right now, you know, but it's not difficult for me to follow. I always like to action. That just you just start the scene, like you say, just tell somebody you will see. Aha! I want to follow through to what the person will see. You know, I like those kind of, you know, why don't I just say, there was a child. I just see one baby swinging. What about that? If I want to watch me, I'll watch Miss Rachel. You know, but in the real sense, you see, people just actually, you know, they use their ignorance to approach their life. What I'm trying to do with this series is for you to use your knowledge to approach your life. Altogether. See, let me tell you something. If things are not going well, and every time things don't go well, you are always panicking. Let me tell you what that reveals about you. You've not gotten to know so much about yourself. I try to put that in a better way, but there's no better way. You've not gotten to know about yourself. No, you're not. You're not. And I understand people can say it's easy to say. Of the truth, it's in scriptures. Right? Why do you think the prayer we prayed this morning was Ephesians 1? That's why when we pray this kind of prayers, pray with all your heart. It matters. We're in a generation right now where Christians only want to pray prayer, but when they say every satanic demon fall down, dies from a soul, catch fire, and be buried. Yeah? You see, the hatred in the heart of men can be revealed in the prayer point they make.
Yeah.
You also want to die such that the person dies, you're not happy with the dead, you want the body to be burnt. You want it to catch fire. See, some assaults, catch fire, die, like you want slow pain. You're not okay with some assaults, you're not satisfied, which you shouldn't be, ideally. Say, some assault, catch fire, tumble, what are you living for? Some assault, catch fire, die. The extent of how you view life will reflect in your prayer point, in your prayer life, the way you approach life, the way you view life generally, the way you approach even ministry. If you understand that God wants all men to be saved, listen, God wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of his truth, knowledge of his word. That's God's will, 1 Timothy. So you must understand that knowing who you are is too important in approaching life generally. It's too important. Right? Why did I give you an example of those movies or those things? Yeah. See, as a believer, if you watch more movies than you spend time in the world, it will show in your life. There's no better way to say it. It will show. It will show. It will show. It will show. And from when it comes to movies, I'm just learning to watch movies. When I was a couple years ago, throughout my university days, I used to use a week to 2 weeks to watch an hour 20 minutes movie. One movie that is 1 hour 20 minutes. I watch that movie for 2 weeks. Then I wait for another 2 weeks before I pick another movie. What do? I watch the first 5 minutes. What's the second 5 minutes? So anytime I'm watching movies with my wife now, she has to, if we stop for a while, she has to remind me what happened in the... Because even as I'm watching, my mind is not there. Because I know that that is the plan of the devil to capture my heart to see life in a certain way. For instance, on the part of the world where I come from, a lot of our movies in time past, I don't know about now, everything has to do with juju. Charm, juju, charm, juju. You want to go to the office, one man put something on the CEO's chair and put it under the chair, and the CEO, you could not give birth again. You two, you now go to your office. Before you see that, you think you're looking for guy. Before you see that, you will look back, then you turn the chair upside down. I decree, anything is planted around me. Like, nothing even inferred that anybody cared about you. Or you've seen a movie. Why do you think there's a lot of friction in families between mother-in-law, sister-in-law, uncle-in-law, sister? You've watched Bishetu Zoku enough. Yeah? Your mother-in-law doesn't want you to succeed in your house. What do you do? You know, as people now take that defense, even to approaching their mother-in-law for the first time, they go all defensive. You talk B, I talk C, D. Talk B, I talk C, D. Not him. I know you are here. I respect you, respect me. Respect you, reciprocal. I don't take what I cannot give. I mean, I don't those kind of things. It's what you've watched. So, this series, what it should do for you is to let you see how to disabuse your mind from lots of things happening in the world. It's been 5, 6, 7 years I've sat down to watch news for 10 minutes. She knows. She's the one that tells me anything that she knows. Maybe she knows from my office. I don't know where she knows. I don't need to know. I just know something that if everybody's running out of Livingston today, I'll be low. I know. That's why my office is close to the window. Once I see everybody's car, just packing. I'm just pointing out my car too and join them. When we get to the front, we ask, what was happening? No, I'm just joking, really. But you know, so you don't be so well abreast with the information of this world. Let me tell you something. What you call news, a lot of times, is not good news. Every time. No good news. 50, abducted. 70, killed. 300, beheaded. And I understand that we need to know those things. But if that's what you are feeding with your heart every day as a believer, it will show. It will show. Somebody knock your door heavily. You and your husband will first run to the bathroom. So if that it will show, you've watched a lot of things. Ha! You've watched people don't knock like this. Is it police? Have they got to arrest me? Is it this? Nobody knock. It's what you've watched. If what you want, then you've seen how they catch people. Do you understand? You can't afford to feed your... So you have more work to do in unlearning those things. Something falls from the kitchen. Imagine the husband is only the wife. The husband or the wife or the husband. What is happening? What is happening from the bed? You want to know by word of knowledge? It's what you've watched. It sounds funny, but your believer life should not be like that. Somebody call you. They call you twice. Your heart is beating. Do you understand? Somebody call you the first time. You miss the call. 5 minutes after, you call. This woman does not call me 2 times. I don't usually see 2 missed calls from this woman. What's happening? It is because of what when your heart tilts more to fear, it's because you fed your heart more with fearful things. This, and that's why I always tell you, a believer cannot be pessimistic. You can't afford to be pessimistic. You've got to be optimistic about every situation. Let me tell you something. My dad was preaching when he slumped, right? And from the moment he slumped, from then till he passed, I was all optimistic. In fact, when they had called me in the house, that this is what is happening, come to the hospital. Till I got to the hospital bed, that's the life of a believer. That's the life of a believer. Yeah, you always believe the best of every situation. That's why we say you are a believer. You are a believer. That's who you are. You are a believer. You believe the best of every situation. Let situations meet you believing the best of the situation. If you don't have this mindset, you also not believe the best of people. Believe the best of situations. Believe the best of life. Believe the best of life. Believe the best of situations. Believe the best of life. Always believe and expect that there's something more to you. Praise God. Amen. Jesus as well, when he was going to be crucified, he had the word of God on his lips. And the Bible says, Bible lets us see, he was rest assured and knew that God would raise him up on the third day. What an assurance. Somebody is going to die and is rest assured. You see, that's the approach of a believer. That's the approach of a believer. When a believer actually gets to the point where their mortality is, you know, getting weak and the believer is about to sleep, the believer is rest assured, I'm going to rise on the resurrection morning. The resurrection morning to the believer is equal to the third day resurrection of Jesus. Difference is time space. If God rose a child, if God rose Jesus from the dead on third day, every believer will come back to life. There's no believer that has been lost. To show you how you fed your mind poorly, you know the kind of question you'll be asking, what if we cremate believers? Is that a question that you have? What if we cremate? Well, it sounds like a logical question. Sounds like a good question. But those questions only come from the things you fed your heart with. Are we together? So you must have that mindset to believe the best of every situation. Are we together? Say, I'm victorious. Say, I'm victorious. Say, I'm victorious. You are a victorious human. Are we together? Let me tell you something. See, you can go to an exam and no read. Are we together? And fail. You can fail to an exam and no read and copy. I'm not recommending what the Bible teaches. I'm just trying to tell you the examples of the kind of believers we have. Let me say it differently. A believer can go to the exam, no read, and pass. Can go, don't read, and fail. Can go, don't read, copy, and pass. Whatever the outcome of that exam is, that doesn't determine who the believer is. Because the believer, before going for the exam, had a position already. And that's a position of victory. Are we together? So we don't now determine the victory we have based on the experiences we have. We don't have to determine the victory we have based on what we go through. We determine the victory we have based on what he has gone through. The stone which the builder rejected has become the chief cornerstone. What's that? That's the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Like I would always tell you, day and day is not about Monday, it's not about Tuesday, it's not about Wednesday. It's about a dispensation, a period. This is the day. We're in that day. The day the Lord has made, we rejoice and we are glad in it. Together. So we must understand that now, for the believer, there is something about who you are. The Bible says that, and he that believes shall be baptized, and he that believeth not shall be condemned. This sign shall follow. In my name, you will cast out demons. Look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 15 quickly. Genesis 3, 15. Are you there? Yeah. Genesis 3, 15. You say, are you there? Let's put together 1, 2, 3, go. And I'll put enmity between them, between thee and the woman, sorry. And between thy what? Seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, when you see bruising happen, is that a future one? Yeah? Now, the question I want to ask you is, this seed, was it about the child of Eve? Yeah? Was it about the child of Eve? You know, during our navigating your Bible, I said something about genealogy.
Yeah.
Right? You say, yeah. What did I say?
It's what I'm about to say.
What I want to say is what I said. You know, I said something about how genealogy is in scriptures for us to see how it ends in Christ. That's why from the death and the birth of Jesus, we don't have Jesus the father of. But before then, you have Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac begat, yeah. Israel begat, then begat, then begat, begat. Yeah. So eventually, the goal for genealogy is to see the end in Christ. So when the words came out in 2 Genesis chapter 3, it says, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman and between thy seed. So the devil had thought that the seed will be Cain. Then what happened? Abel at the point. He thought Cain, thought Abel. Then he saw that Cain killed Abel. Look forward to Seth. And he kept looking and kept looking and kept looking. But God had a master plan behind it. But in the master plan of God, it was to fulfill a prophecy, a promise. What is the promise? The seed of the woman. You know, God gave that promise to Adam and gave the same promise to Abraham. Go to Genesis 15, 5. Genesis 15, 5. And he brought him forth abroad, that's the Lord, right? And said, look now towards heaven and tell the stars. And if thou be able to number them, and he said unto them, so shall thy what? So shall thy seed be. Now, what did Abraham do? And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for what? Righteousness. Now, a lot of us grew up believing. I also did grow up believing. Now, when God asked Abraham to go count the stars, Abraham went outside and started doing 1, 2, 3, 4. Right? Then maybe Abraham's mother, Sarah will now come and say, your food is ready. Say, stop disturbing me. I'm counting stars for God. No. No. God made a promise about a seed to Abraham. The same promise about the seed was made to Adam. Now look at what Paul talked about in Galatians chapter 3. Galatians 3 verse 13. Galatians 3 verse 13. Are you there? Are you still there? Galatians 3 verse 13. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. 1, 2, 3, go. Verse 14. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the spirit of promise. Promise of the spirit through what? Faith. Look at verse 15. 1, 2, 3, go. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man is annulled and added thereunto. Verse 16, 1, 2, 3, go. Now to Abraham and are we here? Everybody together. 1, 2, 3, go. 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, unto thy seed, which is Christ. Do you remember that story, Genesis 15? Go out to count the stars and tell the stars, so shall thy seed be. If you read that story alone, you will think it's seed as of many. But Paul now tells you it is seed as of one. He didn't now leave it there. He said unto thy seed, which is what? Christ. So Christ is the seed promised to Abraham, and is the seed promised to Adam. And is the seed promised to Isaac. And is the seed promised to Jacob. And is the seed promised to David. 2 Samuel 7:14. Right? So the seed has been promised from time. So the seed was to bruise. That means the seed was to embark on a journey and come out victorious. You know, it's the seed that speaks in Matthew 16, when it says, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not what? Prevail against it. Are we together? So it's important to note that Jesus has done a work. And we are in identification with that work. That's what we're trying to do in this series. So, did God make a promise from Genesis chapter 1? Yeah? Did God make a promise in Genesis 1? Are we here?
Yes.
Did God make a promise in Genesis 1?
Yes.
Did he fulfill the promise?
Yes.
Is he fulfilling the promise?
Yes.
It's both a he has, he is still. Because what is God doing on the earth is building a people, his church. Building a people, right? Building his church. Building a temple. So God is in the master project of building a temple, building his church. But the building of the church is not something that started from the blues. It's been promised from time began. Are we together? Right? So scriptures will be the foundation for what we stand for. Look at Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie, promised before the world began. But had in due time manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. So God has made a promise. You know that song? Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper. Yeah? You see, God is a promise keeper. Let me say this carefully and clearly. We see God as a promise keeper fundamentally by the work of resurrection that was promised. You know, in our world, the way people know promise keeper is based on what they achieve. Right? In our world, it's based on what you achieve. Ah, God said that what? At the end of this year, you will buy 70 million houses. At the end of the year, you now have 70 million houses. What now happened? God is a promise keeper. You know, we say it this way. Yeah, a lot of times, we accuse God for things men say. Are you here? Yeah? Yeah? January 1st, 2024. Or 2003, they say you will buy a car this year. Okay? December 2023, the 2nd of December, they say the year has not finished. December 15th, 2023, they say if God can create the universe in 7 days, 10 days is too long for him. On December 27th, he took 3 days to resurrect Jesus. What can you resurrect your life? December 30th, the God of the last minute. December 31st, let's just give God praise. You are alive. Are we together? You see, some people, if they're not careful with them, that is their definition of God, the promise keeper. But you know, because people have respect for God, they will not stay with their full chest. You know there are some things that you take God told you, and if it doesn't happen, you just keep shouting. You know, God is the God of all things, and is the God of all flesh. He knows all things. He sees beyond and sees ahead. If you knew he knew ahead from the beginning, how come from the beginning he didn't tell you you will not get it? Yes, right. So enough times we promise people things God does not promise. Do you understand? We promise people things that eventually is just what we desire. You know the difference between the promise of God and the wish of man for men? I can wish you to do well and spiritualize that wish and make it God's voice to you. There's nothing wrong in wishing you to do well. You should do well. I want you to do well. Right? So the promises of God in Christ Jesus are what? They are yes and amen. 2 Corinthians. All right, 2 Corinthians 2. Right? It's in the Bible. So people now say God is a promise keeper, right? But we see his promise kept from the beginning. He made a promise that man will receive life. And he brings that to fulfillment by the resurrection. That's the true definition of a promise keeper. All together. So God is the one that said a thing that it came to pass. By default, he is a God that says the things and a thing that comes to pass. Are we together? It's one of the things that God has said from the beginning. It has always been that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of his glory. and we gather as the waters cover the sea. That has been God's desire from time. It will happen. It will happen. That's why you're here. That's why I'm here. It will happen. Yeah? We do the little we can do in our world, in our time, in our life. And what? We pay. And what? Another generation will come and pick it over. So, it means that when you see yourself as a minister, you must see yourself as a privileged person. Some people have that mindset that without me, God cannot do anything. Without me, there is nothing God can do. And people have that mindset in regards to the local church as well. If I leave that local church, let me see who is here. People have that orientation. Why? It is you see yourself more than who you are. That's why I always tell you as a church, eh? See, I'm, why do I say these things? I'm aware that not everybody will start church with together, right? We'll be in the same space for the rest of our lives. It is a fact. Do you understand? It's a fact. Because life can happen and move people all around the world. But if there's anything you remember about God's palace, eh, I want it to be that you learned how to think and do ministry the right way. Yeah. Anywhere you find yourself, you must see yourself as a privileged servant in anything you do. Any church you find yourself, even if you start a church. Anything you do. A lot of us believe that without us, yeah, go and ask Elijah. It's not Elijah. Right? Is it Elijah or Elisha? There's no other Elijah, right? There's no other prophet. What did God say? He has kept how many? He's not 400. How many? 7,000. How many? 7,000. Is it 7,000? 70,000. Ah. I thought it was more than 7. And it's more than 100. Yeah? So, wait, come on. I'm the only one. That's why I don't have that mindset, though. I remember somebody did a post when we were coming to God's, when God's palace was starting in Edinburgh. Yeah. Somebody did a post that said, God's palace. And that post said, light has come to Edinburgh. Ha. Hey, don't kill me before I die. So, all the churches that were here, what were they doing? They sound, please don't kill me. Don't go over the bar. And that's what I always tell you. All this, my church is the best church. My pastor is the best pastor. A lot of people have left the best pastor. And they must look for the better pastor. Because the better than the best. Yes, so learn to stay within confines of, there's something called being conservative as a Christian. I have to call the person to that, please take down that post. How can you say God's palace has come, light has come to Edinburgh? No. Because you have an implication in that statement. I'm trying to say everybody who has done ministry in Edinburgh, not even doing, no, that's not how to view this Christian thing. And that's where this unholy rivalry comes into the local church. Why are you fighting a fellow believer? Why are you fighting another church? There are churches that they meet side by side in the same building, and they instruct themselves, when you see any member of that church, don't greet them. I'm not telling you fiction, it happens. Don't think you are the only one teaching sound doctrine. Boo, 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 it will shock you. See, God has men. See, when you find out and see that God has men, if I wake up today and say I'm not doing church again, who knows? It's me. Not God. The problem we have is that we think we are so powerful that God cannot do without us. If I wake up today and I say I'm not doing again, I'm not the first that will not do again. And God knows I'm not the last. So what do? I see myself as privileged. That's why I don't see service as, some people just want to be pastor, so they can say, hey, Esther, go there. I'm a Rachi. When time you come to church, just stay at the door downstairs there. Just, anything you want to do, they just do. Give me feedback. People just want that sense of leadership because they want to just be able to command people. If you want to command people, go to the military. Let them first drill you. If you become a commander in the military, you end it to a large extent. Because you don't come in just like that, they've drilled you. Yeah? If you've done what you call NYC, you know what it tastes like. If you've done just a little of NYC, you know what it tastes like. Yeah? When somebody will just say, left, right, you should be doing left. Attention! Yeah? They will drill you. When it comes to ministry, you see that's a privilege. You always think about what will God have me do over time. Not, if I stop serving God today, the light has left Edinburgh. No. So like that, So we must have this understanding about what has God done in the real sense, what does that make us? And we must stay with what it has made us, not more than what it has made us. You get what I just said? There's a difference between what God has made you by the resurrection and there's over the bar. Don't go over the bar. Don't go over the bar. Stay with it. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. Yeah? I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You stay there. Yeah? There's this popular saying, a lot of people say, out of my belly, I've taught it before. Out of my belly shall flow rivers of living water. Right? It's easy to teach. Out of my belly shall flow. Out of my belly shall flow rivers of living water. And you think it's your belly. No. The Bible says you are a member of the city of God. Stay there. Don't say you are the city of God. Amen? Don't go far. Don't stay there. Listen. You are a part of the... Don't say you are... Bible teaches we have come to Mount Zion. Don't say I am Mount Zion. I am on Zion. You know I am on Zion. The people start saying I am the church. Without me, God has no place to live. I'm hating so. Without me, God is homeless. No, just stay with it. God lives here. Like, are you okay there? Yeah, just stay there. Just okay. Sometimes when you just people talk, you think as if you know their neighbor is always cooking cocaine, so the thing used to enter their room. and they used to make them just be all back. You just think their neighbor is always cooking cocaine and they smell as if when they enter, they just come there and just say, I am the city. I'm the body of Christ. I'm not joking with you. There are some of you I sent some videos to very recently. And one of you responded and said, some people really teach, so you think I'm joking. I think it was you I sent one video to. What was that video really about? I think what was the video about? You know, I have a friend that used to tell me, after the share to the group chat, I say, when I not say I've come to share this thing. Wait, I always tell you, I have a friend that say, the Holy Spirit calls me baby girl. This one say, the Holy Spirit wakes up at 2 a.m. I don't want to tell you what they say. Do you understand? Stay with the word. The Spirit of God lives in you is okay. Are you not okay with that? Wait, if they call you city, wouldn't I not afraid? And you understand when the Bible says I'm a city set upon the hill that cannot be moved, or a city. You must understand it within the context of the Bible. Only you are General Assembly. Only you are Church of the Firstborn. So you must stay within the God. What exactly does the Bible teach? Stay there. Stay there. Stay there. Just stay there. It's okay. The victory you have, stay with the victory. You know the victory you have, they gave you. Somebody fought the battle I gave you. And you say you are the person, you are equal. How many of you can even sacrifice yourself for one person? They say love, they say walk in love. I say no, you cannot. For now, forgive, you cannot forgive. I say you want to be son of God. Only you are Jesus Christ. No, stay within the confines of what the Bible teaches. Just stay there. It's important for you. I know why I'm emphasizing on it, on this teaching, because I know we're going to get somewhere in the later part of the series. Stay with it. So Jesus has given us a victory. If you look at Matthew 26:28. I heard one the other day, he said, I'm heaven on earth. Pray for your brethren. You are heaven on earth. Look at Matthew 26:28. So look at 27. It says, look at 26. It says, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and break it and gave it to his disciples and said, take it, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink all of it. Look at 28, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the what? Remissions of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until the day which I drink of it in my Father's kingdom. Now, look at what happened. Jesus shed his blood. Is that true?
Yes.
For what? Sin. You know it is over zealousness, right? That makes you say that Jesus died for your sins and for your car. and for your house and for your job. It's overzealousness. He's teaching extra Bible. Amen? Yeah. To get to a conclusion that Jesus died for your prosperity, you have to preach the Bible. You have to. You can't read the Bible the way it was intended to read and get to that conclusion. What did he shed his blood for? Look at it. He says, this is my blood of New Testament, which is shed for many for what? Remissions of sins. You know, the resurrection doesn't promise wealth to the believer when it comes to material acquisition. You know why? Because material acquisition is determined by the activities of men on the earth. No matter how pastoral you are, no matter how close to God you are, you see, when it comes to the market, you know, the four pillars of economics, they are what? Demand, supply. That's not what I'm looking for.
Media.
No, not even that one. No. The one that has to do with... just left my head now. Four factors of production. Sorry. Land. Sorry, I missed the mistake. Land, what?
Labor.
Capital. Antelope. I think it's entrepreneur, actually. Land, capital, labor, and entrepreneur. Yeah. You see, who are people that handle these four factors of production? Not angels, with men. Altogether. That's why you see some company, you say, I bought this land. You know, that's why a man can sell a land to five people. You've not seen. A man will sell a land to five people. And he will do it with a straight face. Like, you know that they've paid you money for this land. And you can't another person's land. Yeah, you see? Over there, you can build a shed. Like, and you've collected money for another person. Five people. Yeah? So, they collect money from you. You say, devil is after you. I mean, who is the devil in that situation? It's another man now. Yeah, you now use your mini balance to your account to hire a lawyer. A lawyer to want to eat. So lawyer will prolong the case. Are we together? Right? Lawyer wants to eat, so lawyer prolong. I'm not saying that's all lawyers are. Praise God. I'm not saying anything about the profession. I'm trying to say I've experienced something like that. Are we together? There was one who has, now it can't be you. There's one lawyer that showed our family paper. Yeah. Remember him? You know, lawyers are supposed to be pastors. They have reassuring words. Don't worry, you take it to cost $1 million. You get it. $1 million. Just trust me. What do you do? You pay counseling fee. You pay, and they say you stay with retainership. Right? You write one letter. You collect your money. They say the case, you have a case. It's so like good for you to buy a lawyer when there's law in the land. Very important. So, in the real sense, you must pay attention to what exactly the word teaches and still what the word teaches. Bible says, blood was shed for the remission of sins. Remission of sins. So, you must stay there. All together. If you look at Acts 20, 28. Take heed therefore to yourselves and to all the flock and over which the Holy Ghost has given you made you overseers rather, and to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with what? His own blood. So God has purchased us by the blood of Jesus and by the resurrection of Jesus. Now I've taught you before that the blood of Jesus is not about the thing that came out of his body. Yeah? So what has washed away your sins is not the fluid or the liquid that spilled out of his body. Is the life he gives upon the resurrection. So our redemption is based on the work of Jesus. So how do we know our value? We know our value based on how much the one who redeems is ready to give and ready to pay. I'll say it one more time. How do you know your value? Right? You know your value based on how much the one who has redeemed you is ready, or who wants to redeem, is ready to give and ready to pay. Very, very important. Very, very important. Altogether, it's very, very important. Very important. Very important. Very important. So, how do you know the value of a car? How do you know the value of a car? how much the person that designed the car was willing to put as the price tag of that car. Is that true? Is that true? Right? Yeah. So who determines the value on a car? The person that is in charge of the manufacturing. Yeah, you can decide to say this is a car. You see, today nowadays people buy names. All together, right? You can choose to buy any name you want to buy, everything is up to you, but you must think that way for the redemption price that has been paid. What did it cost God to get you? His what? His blood, which is his life. So your worth will be measured to the worth of his life. Do you understand? You don't now say because he gave his life for you, you are now the life. Get it? You stay with the life was given to get. So Jesus redeemed you by his life, by his blood. So you are redeemed. So it's something you say to yourself every day. I'm redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus. All together. I'm redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus. I'm redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus. I'm redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus. Right? So he says that watch, the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood, with his own blood. Look at Hebrews 9 verse 11 as we're trying to close this evening, or this morning rather. Hebrews 9, 11. Hebrews 9, 11. It says, Hebrews 9, chapter 9, verse 11. But Christ being come an high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the what? Holy place, having obtained eternal what? Redemption. Now, when we read to Acts 20, verse 28, we saw that, you know, God redeemed. Now, I brought it to Hebrews 9 to show you to what extent the redemption is really about. Is the redemption temporary? The redemption Jesus gives, is it temporary? Is what? Eternal. You see that, right? He says, neither by the blood of goats or cows, but by his own blood, he entered once and forever into the holy place, rather, having obtained eternal redemption. Say eternal redemption.
I have
been redeemed by the blood of Jesus, eternally. All together. You have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus eternally. Look at verse 15. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of transgression that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of what? Eternal inheritance. So you have an eternal inheritance because of the eternal redemption that Jesus gave you. Right? So say, I have been redeemed eternally. Are we together? Look at Hebrews 9, verse 5. Go back to chapter 5. Chapter 9, verse 5. Hebrews 5, 9. And being made perfect, he became the author of what? Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9. They're saying, look at verse 5. Hebrews 5, 5. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest. Look at verse 6. As he said also in another place, thou art the priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of the flesh, when he had offered up prayer and supplication with strong cries and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Look at verse 9, verse 8. Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he saw. At verse 9, and being made perfect. Who is that was made perfect? Jesus. He became the author of what? Eternal salvation unto them that what? Obey. So, who has eternal salvation? All that obey. What does it mean to obey?
Believe.
To believe. Remember that. Remember Isaiah. If thou be willing and obedient, you shall eat the what? The good of what is the good of land? What is the good of land? What is the good of land? What is the good of the land? Contract. Contract. House. Isaiah says it. He says, if thou be willing, he tells you, he says, though your sins be as red, I will make them white. You see, the good of the land that God supplies is salvation, the forgiveness of sins. So how do you obey? If you are willing and obedient, to obey will mean to believe. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat. So say, I've eaten the good of the land. Say, I have forgiveness of sins. You see, this is the mindset you approach or you take when you want to approach circumstances. Altogether, this is the mindset you take when you want to approach circumstances. Are we together? So there's a difference between saying, I remind myself of who I am when I sin. It is different from saying, God doesn't see sin again. You know, people say that. You don't know. People say it. That anything I do because I'm in Christ is not called sin. Yes. Even if I lie. Even if I steal, even if I kill. I can kill in Christ. It's not sin. It's shocking the things people say. Yeah. Listen. So there's a difference between saying you are in the wrong. You remind yourself of who you are because the wrong you did does not define you. Again, the wrong you do does not define you as a believer. What defines you as a believer is what he has done. So you remind yourself of what he has done to realign yourself of the things you do. Are you with me? You remind yourself of what he has done. You remind yourself of what he has made you. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. My sins are forgiven. I have power over sin, right? Sin has no dominion over me. You remind yourself of this reality. You remind yourself of these things. You remind yourself over and over and over and over again. Let's end in Hebrews 13 this afternoon. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Hebrews 13, 5. You know, so as a pastor, we'll not necessarily promise you and tell you that storms will not rage. No. But we'll teach you how to view storm. We'll teach you the mindset you use to approach stormy situations. We'll teach you the mindset, the orientation you have to have. Right? Let me show you one in Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, verse 5. It says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with what? Such thing as he had. For he had said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So what is one thing a believer can boast of at any point of their life? He will never leave me nor forsake thee. But don't stop. Look how this says in the next verse. Let's read verse 6 together. 1, 2, 3, go. So that we may boldly say, stop. It means that what God says about you is so that you can say it boldly. Know that in your book. What God says about you is so that you can say it boldly. What God has said about you is so that you can, so he says it to you so that you can say it boldly. Now, what does he say to you? He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So that you may boldly say what? The Lord is my helper. You see that? The Lord is my helper. So I'm not without help. That's the boldness we have. So what gives us the boldness is what he has said. So because he has said it, we say it boldly. Wake up every morning and remind yourself, the Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. God has said he will never leave me nor forsake me so that I can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I am not without help. You know, Genesis chapter 2 will tell you that it is not good that man should be alone. Remember that? It's not good that man should be alone. I will give man a what? A helpmeet. And what is the word helpmeet there? We've looked at it there, definitely. Severally, rather. Yeah, the one who supplies the help to humanity is the Spirit of God, God himself. Are we together? So the helpmeet there is not a wife to a man. No. Are we together? Are we together? It's because you don't understand these things. That's why you think women are for plates. Yeah, that's why you think women are for, you know, everything house help, everything house chore that is for help is for women. That's, it's because you don't understand that God has made, so men are to fend for money outside to help the family, and what, women just take care of the family, right? It's because you don't understand the basics of what the Bible teaches. That's why you have some of these porous mindsets. It's porous. Altogether, the help that God promised mankind is the help of the Spirit. You know the name Ebenezer? Ebenezer, eh? Yeah? Right? You know the word name Ebenezer, right? God, my helper. You wake up every day with that assurance. I'm not without help. I don't get stranded because I have a helper with me. Did you see that? I don't get stranded because I have the helper in me. In Matthew 28:18, Bible says that Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, "All power, that's what authority, is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Now says in verse 19, "Go ye therefore into the world and what? Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things that whatsoever I have commanded, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end." God is with you always. You are rest assured about it. You see, when I say God is with you, it's not a prayer point, so no need for amen. Did you get that? Right? Your response to that is glory to God. Yeah? It's not a prayer point. When I say God is with you, no, it's not a prayer point. It's a reality. It's a reality. It's a reality. That God is with me. We can't pray God to be with you. He is with you already because you are a believer. Bible says that what? Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content. It means that when you see a believer who is not content, who has covetousness in their heart, is what they are paying attention to. Every believer ought to have a mindset of contentment. Now, that doesn't mean you don't push in your organization, in your career, in your life to push you back. No! But you know, some people, the way they approach pushing in life or getting, you know, things done in life, you think as if that is what makes them, that is what defines them. No, you don't have that mindset. Let me tell you today, if you see somebody who has lost money before, it's a type and shadow to show anybody can lose money anytime. If you build your identity based on the material things you have, right, you don't know what tomorrow holds. You don't know what tomorrow holds. You don't know. You see, do you know that you can buy a house of £500,000, for instance, and the government says let every house in the UK reduce in value? Can they do it? They can now. They can. Every house that is above £500,000, everything now selling for £50,000. Now, there was nothing wrong with you investing when you started investing. And that's not me telling you that, say, because they can say it tomorrow, don't go and work hard and buy a house. That's what I'm saying to you. But let me say that your joy should not be in the fact that I just bought a house, I just bought a car, I just traveled abroad, or I just got my visa. No! Some people, the way they rejoice over visa, you would think as if it's visa to heaven. Right? And that's kind of testimonies you like here in church. Praise the Lord. Praise Master Jesus. How did that was aware of my soul? They not tell you, what is your testimony? Imagine, somebody comes and says, I want to thank God that my soul is saved. You say, now to your testimony. What happened to scripture that said they were claimed by the blood of the Lamb? Which is the word of their testimony. So what is the major testimony for the believer? I am an overcomer. That's your testimony. Let me tell you, they can reject your visa anywhere. There is no mark on your head that can, they say, eternal visa must give nothing. They rejected me before, he paid me. Right? What did I do? I picked myself up and moved on. You think I don't get rejection? I get rejection. But I don't allow my rejection to define my life. My sister said something to me a couple years ago. You know, we like to invest in our family. And then they were just investing in the truth. Let's invest in the truth. My sister said she left it early, not to follow me that way. Because when I invest, if things crash, the next day I'm saying, glory! So when she wants to invest, she doesn't invest like me. She invests to a degree. Because you know, there's a way somebody can invest in something. And the confidence the person used to invest, say, if this person can invest, I will throw my own. But the person investing, there's something he knows. Eh? Because I know money go, money come. He come and he can go. That's my approach to material things. Yes, so if I get a private jet tomorrow and not private jet, is it a taste of joy? But I don't say, glory, this is the proof that God loves me. The day the plane crashes, what happened? Yeah. They overcame you. Have you not seen car that pastor has sprayed on, and before they get home, they get accident? New brand new car. The pastor is the one that tore the leather. And they use another tool to cut out the one. Maybe it's even another tool that caused the engine to lock. Yeah? Have you not seen those things? He has done it for me. But guess what? See, if your mindset is not on the car, today you will sing, he has done it for me. Next week you will sing, he has done it for me. Yeah. Because what you are thinking when you sing that song is what he has done by the resurrection. Not what you got. If they sack money in your company, that's the type of shadow to show that anybody can go. It's not hard for companies to do redundancy. It's not hard. And in redundancy, Christians go with it. So I got a job. This is a proof that I just got to that city. In 1 week, I got a job. In 1 week, my salary increased. In one week, everything can go down. If you allow what you get every week to determine your joy, depression is knocking in front.
The church doesn't want to hear this. Let me tell you, it's not every day that the thing you plan, everything. If everything you put your hand in, then I lay my hand on it, put it, everything will go as well. Ah, there are people that tell me other things. Are we together? Eh? So people will buy Bitcoin today. It's tears that's in front. Amen? It's tears that's in front. Just look at me, everybody. Don't look at your partner. Just look at me. Yeah? They told you. They say, buy the dip, buy the dip, buy the dip, buy the dip. Buy the dip. You tell your company, don't pay my salary, push it back into my wallet. Don't pay me salary straight, just push my salary straight into my wallet. Buy the dip. As the dip is dipping, as you start dipping, going deeper, and it starts going down. You can see your money going in front of you. In front of you. All your life savings. All your life savings. Because you're thinking of, somebody told you to put $10,000. You know, everyone knows this, some people have that mindset. They say, the day I put my money, the day the thing will crash. Only black people that have that mindset, don't introduce any business you are doing to them. Just tell them God is faithful. When they say, how you get your money? God is faithful. I'm just joking, no. But you know, you can put your whole life savings. I know people. When I was in school that year, one of my friends, I know his name, I call his name, my son name. One, the first, you know, and that's all this Ponzi scheme. You just put the first one, they give you your money back. You say, is it that quick? You call your branch manager. Please hold everything in my account. So and so. As soon as you enter the account like this, you just click on the website. URL offer 404. URL offer 404. You will click, you will refresh. Nothing. They are gone. What happened? Is it believer? Why do believers get depressed? It's because what gave them happiness when they were happy were things mundane. You can't build your world around things that perish. You can't. Build your joy around that which is eternal. My sins are forgiven forever. See, if you lose £10 million now, your sins are still forgiven. Yeah. If you get £20 billion now, your sins are still forgiven. It's easy to say now. Why am I teaching you now? So that when the day comes, or if it comes, you know how to go through it. Mm. You know, when things are still going well, you say, Pastor is just talking for his own self. Get to learn the word. Jesus knew something. It was not the day the storm was raging that Jesus knew what to say, or he knew an approach to life. He knew the approach before he got on the boat. Know something. And my sins are forgiven. You got to remind yourself this over and over and over and over again. Well, be the pleasure to bring God's word your way. Look at someone around you and talk about the things you've learned.